Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Treasure I find, my reason for is for you. I lift my hands and lay my whole life down, my whole life down before you. I lift my hands and lay my whole life down, my whole life down is for you.
Jonah chapter 1, today's message is primarily aimed at those of you who are followers of Jesus Christ. I think the majority of us who claim that, we want to hear from God, right? I remember being a teenager and thinking, man, I wish God would just speak to me, communicate to me. Is God real? And I think that's something that we probably all want. We want him to speak to us. The problem is that when he does... when he does speak to us, he asks us to do things that we don't want to do, right? And we're going to see that as we go through the book of Jonah. Most of you know, I'm sure, the basics from the story. The main character is who? Not Jonah, right? Not Jonah. Good guess, because Jonah is the only name that's mentioned in this story, but this guy's a scoundrel. This guy's a prophet of the Lord, but he's a little rough, and it'll be clear that really the main character in the story is God. That's who the main character is. There is, of course, a lot to the story, and I'm looking forward to just going through it with you. The question is, though, will we have ears to hear, right? Because not everything that is said is heard. Will we have ears to hear? Would you just pray about that right now in your head? Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal through his word to you, not through me, right? Through his word speak to you. Would you stand in honor of God's word? Jonah 1:1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down, and he fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? Where is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that this is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Father, we recognize this as your word. Lord, we know it is a light unto our path. And Father, I pray it is what we will follow. I pray that this is not a window to see about you as much as it is a mirror to take a look at ourselves and see the path that we're on, see the boats that we're on. Father, would you speak to us? Would you make our hearts soft to receive your message? Would you open our eyes? Would you open our ears, Lord? We want to honor you and what your word says, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. The book of Jonah is really interesting. It reads like a satire. Everything is over the top. A man gets swallowed by a fish and spends 3 days in that fish. No one in this story plays the role that they should be playing in this book. Jonah, the prophet of God, is a hard-hearted scoundrel who hates the mercy of God, right? The pagans, they're all soft-hearted and quick to repent. Even the animals in Jonah are quick to repent. Like I said, it reads like a satire. We know this is true, though, because Jesus refers to Jonah. Some Pharisees and teachers of the law ask Jesus for a sign, and this is how he responds, Matthew 12:39-41. He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now someone greater than Jonah is here." We also read about Jonah in the book of 2 Kings, but even there, when we're reading about him, he's not such a good guy. He pronounces God's favor over Jeroboam. Jeroboam was one of Israel's worst kings. Jonah prophesied that Jeroboam would regain territory for Israel, but then the prophet Amos comes in, and he reverses his prophecy. So Jonah the prophet is just a bit sketchy. I kind of appreciate that. Verse 1, the word of the Lord, who's the main character? Oh, come on, guys. God, right? The word of the Lord, main character, came to Jonah, son of Amittai. It's interesting because Jonah means dove, which is usually a sign of the Holy Spirit or God, right? And Amittai means son of faithfulness. So here you got this bad prophet who doesn't do what the Lord tells him, a man who we see rebelling against God, and his name means dove, son of faithfulness. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. God is a God who still speaks to his followers today. That is, if you have ears to hear. That is, if you want to hear from the Lord. I promise you that he will speak to you. He will direct your steps. I can prove that to you because we can all relate to Jonah, because sometimes he speaks to you or he directs your path to do something you don't want to do. We've all been there. We've all heard that message from him, right? We know it's from him. If you've been a follower of Christ for any amount of time, I bet you have a story about that. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Jonah, go preach repentance to those evil people. Instead of doing that, Jonah did what a lot of us do. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. If you look at this map, there's the place. So Jonah is north of Joppa. He goes down to Joppa, where he gets on a boat, and he's headed for Tarshish. You can see the distances there. Jonah was trying to get to the farthest point that he knew of. This is the farthest point in their world at this time. And that's the place he's trying to run to instead of Nineveh, which was a lot closer and where God was calling to him. God called him to go east, but he found a ship and went the exact opposite way. Hear this. Know this. If you want to run from God, the enemy will always give you a ship to ride in. If you want to get away from God, you'll always be able to find a boat headed in the wrong direction. Now, why did Jonah run from God? Well, God wanted him to go and preach to Nineveh, right? Nineveh was the capital city of Assyria, which was the dominant world power at this time. We know from extra biblical sources that the Assyrians were brutal, violent people. In fact, when the Assyrians conquered Israel, they took some of their leaders and they skinned them alive and they buried them in the sand. And I can't even mention some of the other things that they did to the people of Israel. The Assyrians were brutal. They were master torturers. And Jonah had seen this. Jonah had witnessed this, and he hated them. One theologian said asking Jonah to go to Nineveh would be like asking a Jewish person to go to Nazi Berlin at the height of World War II and condemn the Nazi party. So that's the direction that God gave to Jonah. Now, what we'll see here is it wasn't a fear of these people that prevented Jonah from going to them, but it was actually a fear that these people would repent. A fear that these people would listen to the message of God and find mercy. That's why he didn't want to go. So he doesn't go because he thinks it'll be dangerous. He doesn't go because he knows the character of God. He knows that God is merciful even to his enemies. And when they repent and turn to him, he forgives them. Jonah did not want those people to find God's grace. He didn't want to be a part of those people finding God's grace. So he ran. And he did what many of us would do, right? He rationalized his disobedience. These people are so evil, right? They don't deserve God's mercy. They don't deserve to hear this message. They don't deserve God's forgiveness. What does it mean when we rationalize sin? Rationalizing sin is when our mind makes an excuse for what our spirit knows is wrong, right? It's when our mind makes a justification for not having to follow God's word. The reality is that some of you are rationalizing sin today. You're doing something right now that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of and told you it was wrong. You're doing something right now that you know the Word of God says is wrong. My friends, it's great that we're handing out black shirts, right? But it's one thing to read the Bible, and it's a whole nother thing to follow it, to live it. Some of you, maybe God has asked to do something, like serve somewhere, give something, speak to someone, repair a relationship, or forgive someone, and you have said, I'm not ready to do that. The timing isn't right. I don't feel like it. Or I'm scared and I'll do it later. You're putting off what God has told you to do. Or you're just plain saying no, right? Make no mistake. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Let's not sugarcoat it, right? Those of us who are parents, we know this, right? Delayed obedience, that's not listening to your parents. It's one of the most frustrating things as a parent. But we say that, and yet we live that very thing with God oftentimes. God tells us to do something. Timing's not right. I'll try to get to it. A lot of times people think when they're spiritually mature, they think of things like Bible knowledge. The more Bible knowledge I have, the more spiritually mature I am. But that's not it, right? Biblical knowledge is great. Like I just said, we should be growing it. We should be reading the Bible, right? But if we're not doing what the Word says, what good is that knowledge, right? What good is it? Spiritual maturity is when there is a short time between God's command and our obedience, our rightful response, right? That is spiritual maturity. When God says to do something, we don't argue, we don't complain, we don't question, we don't rationalize, we simply obey. Now, when Jonah ran from God, what happened in his life? Did it get better or did it get worse? Obviously, it went downhill fast, right? When you read through the book of Jonah, you're going to see two directions that become very clear. There is up, arise, and go. That is what God calls Jonah to do. But you're also going to see this other direction of going down. Jonah 1:3 says, Jonah went down to Joppa. Jonah 1:5 says, Jonah went down to the bottom of the ship. Jonah 2:3 says Jonah was thrown down to the bottom of the sea. And Jonah, God is calling him up, but in his rebellion, he's going down. That's what happens when you run from God. You get in the cycle where you go down, down, down. Verse 5 and 4 and 5, then the Lord, who is the main character, sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Notice who sent the storm. Right? This was from God. My friends, not all storms are from God. Sometimes they're just things that happen because we live in a broken world, and sometimes there's the result of our disobedience and our choices that we made to reject God, right? Our choices come with consequences. This one's from God, though. And do you see who it affected? Did you notice that in that passage? It affected the sailors. They were innocent in this. They hadn't disobeyed God in this story. They were suffering because the rebellious guy just happened to be on their ship, right? Some of you may be suffering right now because you have the wrong friend in the boat. Some of you might be dating Jonah. If you aren't dating somebody running from God, if you are dating somebody running from God, you might find yourself in a storm. You might need to throw that person off your boat. Maybe Jonah is in your social media feed. You're watching Jonah, you're following Jonah, and they're sailing away from God, and you're following in their wake. You're following in that storm that's gripped them. Anytime that you let a distracting and consistent voice pull you from hearing what God has for you, you're headed towards a storm, or you're already there, and you need to get that voice off your boat. You need to get out of that wake. That is why it's so important for you to have a daily quiet time. First thing in the morning. Here are these sailors in the middle of the storm, and their boat is about to break up, and they aren't why this is happening, right? I never noticed the significance of this until I was doing this, but what was Jonah doing right here? What was he doing? He's asleep. And he doesn't even notice what's happening to these people around him, right? Holy smokes. Do you get that? There are people you have in your life bringing storms to you, and they don't even care because they're asleep. And you, my friends, are letting them stay in your boat. Others of you are being disobedient to God. And the storm is coming, and it's going to wreck somebody else's life. And you don't even care because you're asleep. You're spiritually asleep. The people in your boat, the people in your family, you're dragging them into the storm. And you don't even realize it. Or maybe you've got to the place where you don't even care. The people you love. Please listen, right? Because I feel like there's some boats in here that are about to break up. And this might be the last moment to change course. I'm begging you to repent, to turn. I'm saying that as a friend. I'm saying that as a brother. I'm saying that as your pastor. Repent from your disobedience. Turn from it for your sake, and maybe even more important, for the sake of those people around you. This is a profoundly scary place if you're becoming comfortable in your disobedience, because that storm is coming. You don't even realize how your life is plummeting down. Thank God, though, that he sends storms, right? Storms are meant to wake us up when we're spiritually asleep. That's how they can be used. They are devastating, but they are far better than staying on a boat that's headed towards hell. Listen. If you let somebody stay in the boat, you can be aiding them in their journey away from God. Be careful with that. You can enable them on that journey to hell. I say this with all love, honestly. Kick them out. You got to practice tough love with some things, or just you can't accept things. You got to be honest with them. You got to tell them, right? If it's you that are being disobedient, my friends, jump out of the boat, right? Get out of that boat and get it turned around. Don't get comfortable in your sin, because the voice of God gets quieter and quieter the further you go away. That's what happens. And pretty soon, it just becomes easier and easier to sleep. You might be in the storm, but thank God, because he's reaching out to you. He's calling you back home, right? Consequences are hard, but if they wake me up, I've had some storms. I've had some consequences from poor choices in my life. But I praise God for those storms because they wrecked my life. And the only thing I had left after that wreck was Jesus Christ. And that's when I grew closer to him. I can praise God for storms because of what he did through them and how he waked me up. I remember somebody coming to me and asking me for money a couple years ago. Somebody I loved very much, and I had helped them before, and I had helped them often. But I knew this time that if I gave that money to them, I would just be enabling them to keep on living their life running from God. I felt horrible saying no. I felt like a bad, unloving person, but I knew I couldn't help them stay on that ship because of where it was heading. People may think God is unloving because he sends storms, but it is the most loving thing to do to a person who's on a boat to hell. Sometimes you gotta choose tough love, and you can't keep on enabling people. If any of you have dealt with this, you know what I'm talking about. Again, not all storms are from God, right? This storm was, though, because Jonah was comfortable. He was asleep in his disobedience on that boat. Verse 8, so they asked him, tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. He answered, I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. This is almost comical. Notice he says that he worships God, but he's not obeying God. My friends, that's American Christianity today. A lot of people saying they worship the God of the Bible, but not a lot of people obeying the Word of God. And I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about you. We claim we worship God, and yet we're sailing away from him in our disobedience. I'm not a big proponent of even calling myself a Christian anymore, because sadly it does not mean anything today. We Christians look exactly like the Word. I want to refer to myself as a follower of Christ. I want to say that just so that I'm reminded that there is a path to walk. There is a person that I'm supposed to be following, that I'm called to follow. Isn't that how Jesus called the disciples? Right? He said, follow me. That's the call on each and every person in here's life today. Christ is coming to you and saying, follow me. And you got a choice to either head in that direction or sail a ship in another direction. The choice is yours. I want to follow him. I'm not going to be perfect in that. I'm going to get off track. But that's where you guys come in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in, right? You can be iron that sharpens iron. You can point out, James, you got a bad attitude today, right? Holy Spirit, you shouldn't be doing that. Repent, turn, get back on that narrow path. My friends, the choice to follow him happens every day. Every day, multiple times. We have a choice to be disobedient or obedient. Let us not be ones who are disobedient. Here is the question that I have for you this morning. This is the big question, all right? Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? You got a sermon sheet in your bulletin. Would you write that down and wrestle with that? Some of you know right where you're at right now. And you got to bail out of that boat because it's headed away from God. Some of you might be in a place, though, where the current has just kind of taken you over some time, and you didn't even realize you drifted this far away. You didn't even realize it. The Holy Spirit, though, can reveal that to you. And I pray that we have ears to hear. I am praying right now, Lord, where am I off? Because I know there's some places I'm probably off, right? That I don't even realize it. Holy Spirit revealed that to me. That's what I want to wrestle with, especially this week. And I pray that you do too. I pray that you take the time. I pray that you want to hear it. I pray you're not asleep. Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? Be honest, right? Are you honoring God financially? Are the things that you watch honoring God? Thank God it's football season, because that's about the only thing I watch right now. I spend more time flipping through channels trying to find something to watch than I do actually watching some things when it's not football season. Let me tell you about something that happened this week, though. I was downstairs watching TV this week. I was watching a cartoon. Some cartoons are good. This one wasn't. There's nudity that came up in this cartoon. I'm like, what the heck? Like, I'm very careful about that sort of thing, because that's a grip that's been on my life for a long time, right? This thing, though, was a cartoon, and it wasn't a temptation to me. So you know what I said in my mind? It's not so bad. I can watch that. I rationalized watching that. It's not going to hurt me. And God very clearly said to me, you better turn that off. Right? But it's kind of cool. It's a samurai thing. No, turn it off. There is no way that I would watch that in front of my wife. There is no way that I would watch that show in front of my kids. There is no way I'd watch that show in front of any one of you. So why in the world would I watch that alone? Right? Don't rationalize. Don't jump on the boat. My friends, I will not go back to that ship. I will not go back to that ship in my life by the grace of God. Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? Is it in your marriage? Wives, what are you called to do? Respect your husbands. Or do you have a reason not to do that? Do you have a reason that you don't have to do that because, you know, they're acting like jerks, right? And you don't really, they don't really deserve to be respected. No, that's your call, right? Guys, what are you doing? Are you cherishing your wife, or do they just not deserve it right now? They're not doing this, so I don't need to cherish them. Is that the rationalization? I had the opportunity to marry Prescott and Bree yesterday, and they made vows. And you know what their vows said? Despite everything, this is how we're going to treat our spouse. And I'm betting if you got married, you made those same vows. Despite everything. Not you didn't say, I promise to love and cherish and blah, 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 if they do this, right? You just promised to do that. That was your vow when you got married. But when marriage comes and you're 20 years in, right, and you're spouse is snoring and keeping you up all night, right? And you're a little edgy, you can get away from those vows. Don't you dare, right? Don't you dare. You made a vow. Stick to it. Don't rationalize it away. Teens, are you honoring your parents, right? Parents, you're not causing your teens a bunch of problems. The Bible says, don't give up meeting together. The Bible says, don't give up meeting together. How are you doing with your church attendance? Are you honoring God's word? Well, I don't feel like it today. I'll just skip. I don't feel like going. Are you rationalizing? Does the music you listen to honor God? Does it? Whatever it is, turn from that. Run from that. We're not going to be the people that claim to be followers of Christ and live in disobedience. We can't be those people. There's too much at stake with the people in our family, the people around us, right? There's too much destruction and darkness out there, and we got to bring the light to them. We've got to be filled with the light. We've got to be reflecting the light, my friends. Verse 11, the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, what should we do to make the sea calm? Come down for us. Pick me up, throw me into the sea, he replied, and it will become calm. I know that it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. I want you to see something. This is heartbreaking. I want to say this very lovingly, because this is where some of you might be at right now. Jonah was God's chosen prophet, and at this point, he is so far from God that he doesn't care if he lives or dies. Throw me overboard. Tarp me, because God chose him, and he ran from God, and his life went down, down, down. I love you. And I know some of you are right here. God has called you, right? He forgave you. He made you a new creation. He made you his son or his daughter. But you are being disobedient right now, and you are far from God at this point. And I'm worried. And I don't even know everything that's going on in here. I'm worried. To you especially today, I want to retell a story that Jesus told while he was on this earth. It's about two sons that were lost. You know the story. One of those sons rejected his father and went away to a far-off land. In that land, he does what he wants to do, right? He lives the life he wants to live, regardless of what his father thought. And he ends up squandering and losing everything that he had, right? A famine comes. Maybe that's a storm from God. He finds himself, and the only job that he can get is feeding pigs. He's starving, both physically and spiritually. He's desperate. And there's this incredible little sentence that he utters that the text says. It says, when he came to his senses. It's like he woke up. He makes the decision in that moment to go back to his father. But when he did that, right, he woke up to a lot of shame and a lot of guilt surrounding him. And so what's he decide to do? He starts making the speech. He starts preparing the speech, right? The speech that he's going to give to his father. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there. He's got the whole speech. But we learn something amazing, right? We learn from Jesus that ever since his son has been gone, the father has been looking and watching for his son to return. We learn that when the father sees his son in the distance, he takes off and he runs to him, right? He's not carrying a stick with him. When he gets to them, the son tries to give the speech. I'm going to give the speech. Here's my moment. But the father doesn't even let him get it out, right? What's the father do? He embraces him. He throws a ring on his finger. He gives him a new coat. He puts sandals on his feet, right? He kills the fatted calf. Hey, we're having barbecue today. We're going to celebrate tonight because this son of mine was dead and is now alive. He was lost, and he's now found. I just want to say to you today, you might have gone down. You might be on a boat fleeing from the presence of the Lord. But what we see in the Word of God is that you have not gone too far to be wanted and to be welcomed home. Back home, there is no shame. There is no guilt. Those are from the enemy. And don't you dare let that stop you from going back home. You don't need the speech. You just need to come home. I get the privilege to tell people that. I get the privilege to tell people that your Heavenly Father misses you. I'm here today. God, whoever was praying at 4:45 this morning, thank you, right? This is the message that God brought. This is the message that you just happened to be here today for, right? You decided for some reason to come. And this is the message that God has for you. The question is, though, will you turn from your path? And will you come home to the Father, the one who died for you? Would you bow your heads? Some questions. What are you rationalizing? What's taking you off course? What are you running from God from? What are you justifying in your life? What do you need to let go of? Will you let go of that? Will you get out of that ship? Will you repent and turn to Him? Will you lay down the guilt and the shame? Will you rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ? Will you let Him embrace you? That's my question for you today. My plea is that you would turn to Him. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your word. I don't know everything that's going on in here today. But Father, I know this is an opportunity to confess our sins to you, to repent and turn from those ways that we are in. And Father, I pray that every person in here, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal any ways that we are being disobedient right now. And Father, I pray that we would lay those ways down. Lord, some of us might be looking to a person. Some of us might be looking to some things, and we think that our lives are all about that. But Father, if they're not of you, if your word tells us not to touch those things, Lord, I pray that the truth of your word would ring loud and clear in our eyes and our hearts, Lord, and that you would let us know that we need to lay those things down. Whatever they are, as hard as those things are. Father, I know that there's people in here that love their friends and their family, but they're enabling some things that they just can't enable. And Father, I pray that you'd give them the strength to say no, not because they hate them, but because especially they love them and they can't stand the path that they're on because they know it leads to destruction. Lord, would you give them the strength to do that? Would you give them the peace to do that? Lord, would you always let us be there for our friends and family with arms wide open for when they come back? Lord, would you just be glorified by everything that we do? Father, would you set us on the right path following you so that we can make a difference in this world, doing what you called us to do, doing what you're already doing. Lord, invite us into that, whatever that may be, Lord, and help us not to say no. Help us to be obedient right when you call us to do whatever you call us to do, Father. We pray that you'd be glorified in everything. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.